morning, everybody. This is the Cave to K Outdoor Show. I'm Bob Sims. Thank you for tuning in this very rainy morning. My goodness. Well, here we go again. We just get these patterns going where we can start catching some fish, especially like striped bass and sturgeon, and here come the rains. Of course, I'm not complaining about the rains. I will never complain about the rains again because I'm tired of the lack of rains. But anyway, it's a few surprising things were happening even yesterday as far as being able to catch fish. What is really kind of surfaced, I think a little bit more so this year than in years past, is that, you know, we've been dealing with off-color water, muddy water down in, you know, the Sacramento River down by Rio Vista and over on the San Joaquin as well. And usually you get muddy water, you do not catch fish trolling. Well, they're catching fish trolling in muddy water. Now, I don't know if it's a combination of, as we get into spring, the stripers get more and more aggressive because they're getting closer to their spawning. Stripers have a great, most fish have a great sense of feel in the water. So if you're using a lure like a P-line predator or Yuzuri or even a Rebel, that lure all by itself, those hooks rattling around make noise. There's a vibration with it going back and forth. The fish feel that. They can hone in on it. And they're just not going to chase it very far. That's all. You kind of got to put it right in front of them. And if you do, even though they can't see it, they'll hone in onto it and follow it, and then they'll see it at the last minute and take it, you hope. If you're using swim baits, you try to put a little rattle in it. You do anything to make noise on those lures. So that's what's been happening in the Delta. It's been happening up on the Feather River. The Feather River's running real high, and it's going to peak, I think, sometime this morning. But as of yesterday afternoon, they were still catching stripers there. And, you know, you couldn't see. I don't think you could see a foot in the water. So, you know, these fish can be caught. Don't hesitate to go. But, you know, you just remember, you have to put it in front of them. They're not going to be 4 feet off the bottom sitting there in that dirty water. They're going to be on the bottom. So you got to take a chance there, okay? But anyway, and another thing that's happening is the reservoirs. I heard somebody mention specifically Lake Berryessa. It's come way up in the last week or so. Now, this is going to bring it up even more. Of course, that's always good news. All of our reservoirs, now we're having to release a tremendous amount of water from areas like Folsom. For example, I was by Folsom on Thursday. And, you know, when a lake is, I forget the figure, but when a lake is like 80% full, it looks full because all that storage is right up on the top as the lake expands its shoreline. That's where the most storage is. And so the lake looks, for all practical purposes, full. And I'm thinking, boy, with this storm coming, they're going to have to start dumping some water. There was one major spillway at Folsom dumping. There was no water coming down the brand new spillway. And I'm thinking to myself, what are they waiting for here? I mean, is this another example of getting greedy with the water storage so you can make your deliveries later on like Orville did last year and then denied it? Can't believe anything out of those people anymore. But anyway, now we're really dumping a lot of water out of Folsom. We're dumping a lot of water out of Orville. I think it's like 25 to 30,000 cubic feet. I think it's going to peak at combining the releases from Orville and the Yuba River, which, I mean, let's face it, Bullard's Bar is almost full. Where are you going to put it? You're not going to put it anywhere. You got to dump it. That's all there is to it. And, you know, when you get to the point of water near the top of a dam, that's the most dangerous. When the water spills over the dam, that puts the maximum pressure on that dam. And we just don't want, they do everything they can to keep that from happening. However, Today is the opening of salmon season in the ocean down by Monterey. The first of the month earlier this week was the opening of the rock cod season. And I talked to Chris Arcaleo. We'll get a report there. And basically, it was just wide open. Well, I mean, these fish haven't been fished for months and months. You would expect it to be wide open. And there's whales. We'll report to you on that, too. The Napa River, you know, it's going to get muddy. We'll get a report there. And Lake Berryessa and Clear Lake. I mean, this last week, fishing at Clear Lake was great. I think there was a whole bunch of fish over 9 pounds caught at Clear Lake this week. And we've just been talking recently, the lack of big fish may be attributed to that fish kill we had late last summer. That doesn't seem to make too big of a difference right now, does it, with all those big fish? Brian Ricucci has still been up at Lake Almanor catching just beautiful, beautiful fish, rainbows, browns, and salmon. And the salmon now are running over 20 inches. It's going to be a good year at Lake Almanor. Lakes like Comanche, we're mostly talking about bass fishing there, but the trout's coming on a little bit. Pardee made a big plant, so the trout fishing there is picking up. We'll get a report. The kokanee fishing at Pardee just seems to be almost non-existent. Kind of a mystery. Not really, but that's a whole other story. We will get a report on the Feather River and the fishing that's been going on there. From Mike Searcy up at Johnson's Bait and Tackle. Talked to Monty Smith. You know that big washout, the flooding of the Moccasin Creek Hatchery down into the Tuolumne River before it goes into Lake Don Pedro? Well, a lot of the fish the Department of Fish and Wildlife rescued and put in Don Pedro, and then there's a whole bunch of fish that got washed down into Lake Don Pedro, which is good because the department has failed to plant that the last year and a half. So how they can do that is beyond me, but anyway. We'll get a report from Monty down there. He had just an out-of-sight couple of days down there, and we'll tell you where he was fishing. Also talked to Kurt Porter Carrero. He was up turkey hunting in the rain yesterday and still calling him in. I mean, it must be the time for turkeys when you can call him in during the rain. Also was down at Calusa fishing this past week with lots and lots of keepers, but nothing real big. All on bait, including minnows and cut bait. We'll get a report. Richie Hyde, a Paulina Peak tackle, was up fishing Bullard's Bar this week for kokanee. We'll get a report there. Rob Reimers will call in, give us a little report on what's going on sturgeon fishing up river with all this water. Clyde will report on the trolling down in the Delta. Clyde, the old timer. Don Paganelli will join us in the 7 o'clock hour talking about what to anticipate in both lakes like Berryessa and Folsom and the Delta when conditions become fishable again. And Gary Cole joined us about 7:45. And in fact, he was fishing with Richie Height and this past week up at Bullard's Bar. Also, their first tournament of the year is coming up. All that and more on the KFPK Outdoor Show in the next 2 hours and 45 minutes. Thanks for being here. Welcome back. Well, we had a ton of water coming down the American River. In fact, yesterday morning, it was up to 25,000 cubic feet per second. It normally runs this time of year, you know, around 2,000. So, you know, that's really taking it up there. Flows like that are going to affect the Delta. Orville's had its own releases up there. I'm not sure what Shasta is doing. I'll check that as the program continues. But in the meantime, the guy that felt the effects the first, of course, was Barry Canavero, because that's what they're looking for is the, you know, the water flows and what's going on. And he joins us now. Good morning, Barry.
Good morning, Bob.
Would we just get things cooking and here we go again, huh?
Yeah. Boy, we sure did. I mean, it was, we had, you know, kind of a tough week except for one day, and that one day you know, I really like the old Sacramento River, the Isleton area, to Walnut Grove. And I always wait for when we're in this situation where we got dirty water and one-way tide. When we start seeing the tide stop or slow down, the water starts to clear up, and the fishing just gets wide open.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happened on Wednesday. And then, here we go. And go Thursday, and the water's back high, dirty, running one direction, and just absolutely zero. And we had to run. This is the crazy part that day, is that we ended up in Georgiana Slough, and the water was clean. And once you ran down past the big house down there and got down into the flats, you could catch fish. So, I don't know. I mean, we traveled a lot of water this week. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of debris on the water. A lot of trees, a lot of branches. And then that witch's hair, that dark grass, is a just plain killer.
Hmm.
And but the days that it was good, it was good. It was just like it's supposed to be. And I didn't make the Isleton Bridge on the first. I did make it on the second, and it wasn't happening. But it was happening on the third, then. It happened on the fourth. The fourth was Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been kind of a weird week. I had some friends do really good down in Montezuma over the weekend, and then boom, then it shut off. And so, I don't know. We're switching back to sturgeon a little bit here. I'm telling you, it's raining pretty good here in Vista now.
Yeah. I was telling the folks here, I was exhausted when I got into work. I mean, it takes me an hour in this rain to get here, and of course I live up in the hills, and it was just raining hard and steady the whole way, you know. There's no time to relax. And then, of course, you have people going by at 80 miles an hour. I'm going, what are they thinking?
You know, it's crazy. You know, yesterday in Rio Vista, it rained, and it pretty much rained all day, but it was like a soaking rain, just nothing hard. But last night it came down hard, and this morning it's raining pretty hard right now. So we're going to work tomorrow. We didn't work the last yesterday or today. We had people for Friday. We moved them to Sunday. And it looks kind of okay next week, couple of 3 days, and then they're forecasting some rain, I think, on Tuesday and Thursday and Saturday. But that does, we don't know. It's still early yet. But they hit this one right.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I it's hard for me to get upset at all this water because we went through so many years of no water and nothing but problems. And I'm convinced that, I mean, they were catching lots and lots of stripers earlier this week up above Colusa. I mean, almost all of them small. I didn't hear of any big fish. I think 7 pounds was the biggest. And, you know, most of them are going to be like 4 pounds or 3 pounds. So, but at least a whole bunch of fish are up there. So that means the fish are spread out now throughout the system. And when this drops again, I think we're going to have good fishing everywhere. I think all those guides up from the Marysville-Yuba City area are going to go right back up there. And because, you know, they make their money drifting minnows. And so,
you know, I talked to Frank Miller yesterday, and he has the Fury Sport Fishing down there. And I actually talked to Don Franklin, Soul Man, too, yesterday. And they're saying that they're catching stripers down in the San Francisco Bay and San Pablo with green eggs in them and stuff, and males milking. And I got a report a couple of weeks ago from another party boat skipper that said, you know, that he thought most of the fish pulled out of San Pablo because seemed like they were all up Benicia and the Mothball Fleet, that area there. So I guess maybe with all this, they went back down, I don't know, or they didn't come up, or just more fish than we think we have.
Yeah.
And I think that's the answer. We have more fish than we think we have because they're spread out all over.
Yeah, they are. They're amazing,
so
aren't they?
Those fish are going to come up here to spawn. Then, you know, we're probably looking at a pretty good May. But who knows?
Well, you know, I think that Also, we used to think that every striper in the world used to spawn in the Sacramento River, and we're finding out that's not necessarily the case. Who knows? Maybe they go up the Petaluma River and a little Sonoma Creek even, and maybe up the Napa. Well, we know they go up the Napa River. So,
well, I mean, that would be great because they wouldn't get pumped down then. If they spawn down there, they're going to make it. But if they spawn up here, you know, the pumps will suck them all up. So,
yeah, well,
especially the San Joaquin side.
Sure.
But, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, how many years have we been doing this? Is that, you know, we used to say the Eielton spawn was the last spawn. And that usually happened in May. And, I mean, I could tell you how many times we were fishing right above the Eielton Bridge when they were spawning. I mean, it was weird. But it was always, usually late April or May. So we could be into it. And, you know, years ago when I used to work out of the French Track area over there, and this is years ago, 40 years ago, we would fish all the way through Memorial Day.
Yeah.
And then we'd figure, well, we head for the bay after Memorial Day. But now everybody heads for the bay at the end of April. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. But I know it's really changing things up for us. I know places like Vieira's, they're packed full with their people that stay there the whole month of April for stripers. Well, I think they're going to have to do something else for a few, at least a week, anyhow.
Going to be a few card games going on at Vieira's.
Yeah, right. So, I don't know. We're fishing sturgeon tomorrow. We'll see how that goes. The majority of the sturgeon guides, that the hot shots that are all down below in Pittsburgh and stuff, are all gone. They're either fishing stripers or gone to the bay already fishing halibut. So, you know, we're available. We'll be doing that. So, hopefully, it'll be pretty good and get through this bit here. I would guess after this rain here that we're looking at least a week, you know, before it slows down.
Yeah. Well, it's just there's always that little element of mystery on when things are going to get fishable again. And
yeah.
I just checked while we were talking, and Shasta basically isn't releasing one extra drop of water. So that's good news.
Yeah.
But, you know, with rains like this, all those creeks can really make a huge difference. I think that's where a lot of the mud comes from. And those creeks keep flowing for several days after the rain stop, because it takes a long time for some of those drainages are really long. It takes a long time for that water to get down to the river. So we'll just see what happens. Huh, Barry, we're used to waiting these things out.
We don't have any choice, do we?
I know. All right. Well, I know you might have some action on sturgeon, so we'll talk next week, see what's up.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you.
All righty.
Bye. Barry Canavero to book a trip, 916-777-6498. All this water. Now, just this last week, I mean, people were catching them trolling. We're going to get a report from Clyde in about an hour. And he caught some halfway decent fish trolling, lost a few. I'm hearing that over on San Joaquin, numbers of fish, not a lot of big fish. So, and then way up the river at Colusa, you know, they're still loaded with striper fishermen up there, but the ones that specifically targeted, I mean, sturgeon fishermen, stripers, they did well on bait, cut bait and anchor and drifted minnows. So things were just cooking along. We'll see what happens later. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Well, basically a rundown of a few of the reservoirs so you know what you're up against here is so far Shasta is not releasing any extra water. So that's a non-player right now. However, between Shasta and where the Feather River comes in, which includes the Yuba River drainage, there's dozens and dozens of creeks coming in from both sides of the valley. That's where we get the water. That may take a little longer to materialize. So just because these reservoirs that are letting out water now start to decrease their releases, doesn't mean the water is going to go down, because that's when these smaller streams will peak. They'll peak later on, even after it stops raining, and then taper off slightly. But so Shasta is just doing, I think, 2,500, 3,000, probably out of Keswick, you're talking 3,000 to 4,000 cubic feet per second. Orville is up around 15,000 cubic feet. It's continuing to ramp up its releases. The Yuba's coming in right now at 11,000. So that's over 25,000 cubic feet right now, and it's supposed to go a little bit higher by midday today and then start tapering off. The American River was up to 25,000 last night. And I don't know if they're going to taper that off or not. It just depends on how much inflow, which their gauges are working right now about the inflow coming into that lake, which can be substantial. You know, I mean, that's a huge drainage area up the North and South Fork of the American Rivers. So that's a huge amount of water. 25,000 there, 25,000 from the Feather. So that's 50,000 right there. Even Comanche, now Pardee has no place to put any more water. And normally this time of year and all this week, you know, Comanche's going along releasing about 330 cubic feet per second into the McCollumy. Then all of a sudden, on the 2nd, we start ramping it up to 450, 600, 1100, and now it's up to 2500 cubic feet per second. Now that's a lot of water coming down that McCollumy River, you know, where it reaches a New Hope Landing. But that water can be pretty clear because Pardee is and Comanche are both, you know, I mean, that's a very rocky drainage up there, the whole McCollumy corridor. And so we don't really get the mud that we will with some other drainages. However, what it doesn't show you what the flow is on the Cosumnes River. And that's the problem with the mud, because there's no dams on the Cosumnes. And so when that flows into the McCollumy between I-5 and 99, that's where flooding problems have happened in the past, because that's where the river starts to branch out. There's a lot of levees that aren't used to that kind of strain, and we had some trouble in there 2 years ago, if you recall. With different breaches. In fact, they breached levees on purpose to relieve the strain on the rest of the system. So a lot of water comes down there, maybe not as much in volume, but for that drainage, that's a lot of water, and it taxes the system the same way. So that is really a huge effect on the San Joaquin, because by the time the Cosumnes joins the McCollumy that goes by Wimpy's and New Hope, then it starts spreading down the McCollumy River into the Delta. Then the tides move the mud up and down the San Joaquin. That's why all last week we were hearing of people trying to search for the clear water on the San Joaquin. And you just don't know where it is, because the tide does strange things. And in the San Joaquin, just think of the big portion of it, the real wide portion. You could have much clearer water on one side of that than you would the other. And you're looking for these little pockets of water where you see have a couple of inches more visibility, and usually that will show in the fishing. So anyway, it's quite a deal, isn't it? The whole dynamic of our hydraulic system, and of course, in all this, we try to find places to fish. And in looking at the American River, yeah, it's way off color. But I'll tell you one thing, with all this water coming down, I'll bet you stripers are going to be moving into that American River. Now, let's not forget, and it's not going to be very long before the shad show up. Stripers love shad. But in the meantime, if you get any fishable water in that American River, I wouldn't doubt there would be some good stripers there. Well, let's switch gears. I talked to Monty Smith of Gold Country Sport Fishing, and he was fishing the, you know, upper portion of the Tuolumne River out of Lake Don Pedro, where that spill flooded the hatchery and a bunch of fish were washed down there. Plus, the department put more fish in there. It paid off for Monty. Monty, I understand that you took advantage of actually the bad news at Moccasin Creek Hatchery, where they transported a bunch of fish down to Don Pedro, and then of course some had to escape down there. You fished well up the Tuolumne, I should say, and had some success. In fact, some good success. That was nice, huh?
It was very nice, Bob. You know, the flooding of the hatchery was a really sad thing, but a good thing did come out of it, where a lot of fish did escape down into Don Pedro, and they did save at least 39,000 pounds that were put into Don Pedro.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there could be some fish in there that really even shouldn't be in there.
For the lack of attention you got from the Department of Fish and Wildlife the last couple of years, I'd have to say you deserve it. This could be a very good year, Don Pedro.
You know, it's kind of called karma, I think, Bob. You know, they didn't want to plant Don Pedro. They haven't planted it since late fall of 16. But in 17, we really caught a lot of nice fish out of there. Just beautiful holdovers,
yeah.
5 pounds. And, you know, so far this year, those fish haven't showed up, just onesie twosies kind of thing here now.
Yeah.
But we were up there the other day, and we caught 115 fish, Bob, in 2 days.
Oh, my.
It's just out of control, but we let everything go.
That's great. Now, were you trolling? You were trolling, of course.
We were trolling, just using lead core, 3 to 5 colors. You would let the rod out, the line out, Bob, put the rod in the holder.
Boom.
Within seconds, you had a fish on. And it just, you know, I had a trip, took my daughter and her boyfriend up on Monday, and just wanted to scout it and to see. They landed over 50 fish. We let everything go. And we did catch a few nice, very nice holdovers on that day that we let go. Next day, I took a guy and his two younger sons, and they just had a ball. And they kept 4 fish out of the probably 60 fish that they caught that day. We fished well up the Tuolumne River as far as we could go. There's a barrier up there by, they call it Rough and Ready Island. And, you know, we turned around, seen some bald eagles, had some fly over the boat while we were catching and releasing the fish. We caught small brook trout. You know, it's great to see. There's a lot of small fish, and I hope people let them go.
Yeah.
You know, that's the future of Don Pedro right there. Let these fish grow and get big. If they swallow the hook, you got to keep it, or just cut the line, and hopefully they
sure, sure, sure. Well, I mean, put it this way. Don Pedro has a pretty good growth rate with fish. We know that. So letting the small ones go could be a real good year. Now, what were you using? I know you have your own little homemade spoon. What else were you using, Monty?
You know, I ran some humdingers, with Shasta Tackle or Max Lures now.
Yeah.
And, you know, the water, it's not muddy, but it isn't clear. You know, you got probably a 3-foot visibility. So everything I was running was like a chartreuse. I had like a chartreuse humdinger and a sling blade. I put that down at 25 feet, and we were catching brook trout with it.
That's amazing. You don't usually talk about catching brook trout with that setup. But anyway, that hatchery had all those fish in, and now they're in, a lot of them are in Don Pedro. Monty's number, 209-581-4734. We'll be back with Mr. Dan Bacher right after this. Welcome back. Let's find out with our friend Mr. Dan Bacher's up to. Mr. Bacher, good morning.
Morning, Bob.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. It's been a crazy week with the Metropolitan Water District and the Delta Tunnels.
Mm-hmm.
It started off this week is that the general manager of the district, Jeff Keitlinger, sent out a memo to the board of directors of the Metropolitan Water District that they were no longer planning to fund the the two tunnels project, but that they were going to put on their board meeting this coming week, April 10th, a proposal to fund the stage project. In other words, they're willing to fund one tunnel. And so, you know, this was written about in a number of newspapers. And then guess what they did on Friday?
What?
They reversed position again, okay? And so they sent out about at 5 p.m., they posted on their site that they, it was a short memo from Jeff Keitlinger that since then, a number of metropolitan directors have requested that the option presented at the February 24th or 27th board workshop for Metropolitan to finance the California water fix that would allow for the full project to move forward also be brought to the board for consideration. So what they're going to do is they're going to put two options for the funding on the board agenda. And this coming week, and there's going to be a bunch of people from different groups, ranging from Food and Water Watch to Sierra Club California to the Southern California Watershed Alliance and ratepayers groups that will be organizing a press conference and rally to protest this vote to fund the California water fix. So it just shows you the continuing chaos.
Well, you know, it reminds me a little bit. Everybody is, the story changes daily, right?
I know, and it's like you write an article, and then it's wrong,
yeah,
because they decided to change their point of view the next day.
Well, it reminds me of, you know, the L.A. Water and Power lied and deceived their way through all the landowners and water rights holders in the Owens Valley in the early part of the 20th century. And basically, Owens Lake is now a desert, and
right,
they almost ruined Mono Lake and took every drop of water and shipped. Now, the Metropolitan is trying to lie and deceive its way to destroying the Delta.
Right.
I mean, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, and it's exactly what they're doing. And they become the key supporter of this project.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a lot of dissent. And, you know, I occasionally hear fishermen say, well, this is waters for people in Southern California. And if you pointed out so many times, no, the major part of this water is going to go to agribusiness in the Southern San Joaquin
mm-hmm.
Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And other, I mean, a portion of it will go to fund Southern Water California or Southern California water agencies, okay? But the majority is for Big Ag, and that's important for people
yeah,
to realize.
That's right. And the reason everybody fights for Big Ag is because the money they put in people's pockets is just that simple.
Right.
It's just
and
that
so,
simple.
This is going to go to the board.
You think we need more almonds?
Pardon?
You think we need more almonds?
Not really. I think we got more than enough because they were expanded by over a million acres over the past decade.
Yeah.
And during the drought, when everybody or the governor and all the politicians were telling people to save water at home, they were increasing acreage every year.
In a water-intensive crop.
Right. And in a place where it probably shouldn't be grown, which is in a semi-arid place in the Southern San Joaquin Valley.
Yeah. Well, and also it took hold in the Sacramento Valley.
Right.
I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of rice fields that are now almond orchards.
I know.
So, but anyway, there's no conscience there. In other words, the farmers only cut back when they're forced to cut back by not getting water, and so what's new? Everybody's got to go through life with their little hardships, but for some reason they feel entitled to more.
Right,
And some of them, not all of them, of course.
The showdown will be this coming Tuesday. This is one of the most important votes ever regarding the Delta Tunnels, because it's the Metropolitan Water District, and they're obviously leaning towards voting, but there's also a strong contingent of members of the Water District that don't want to vote for it.
Yeah.
Like Mark Gold, who's a member of the district that opposes the tunnels. And also, to date, Eric Garcetti opposes the two tunnels plan, but they need him to firm up his answer on whether he opposes.
We will find out next week, Dan, and I hope you'll be here to report on that for us.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan.
Bye-bye.
Dan Bacher of the Fish Sniffer. When we come back, sturgeon up the Sacramento River. Don't go away.